Okay, gang.
Let's go back. Okay, let's do Dhammadharash again. It is Kartik still. For those of you who don't know, Kartik month, we do Dhammadharashtika every day. And let's see, let's see what day it is at the beginning of my calendar. It's the day after Ekadashi. And it's the first here, it is the first of November. And in Australia and New Zealand, it's the second of November. So another month. And one more month from now, I am going to Fiji to see all the devotees in Fiji.
Guitar. And all you poor devotees in New Zealand and Australia, you're just locked up. You're in jail. Anyway, that's your karma.
Be
moon, ram ta da ram me. Manashavi rastam, adam lachana bai. Namo rudra mudra, ananta Vishnu. Prasida prabhu dukkha. Kripa drishti rishtati dinam batano grihane shamamagyam te akshisha kubera bajo bata uchaiva yadva Chitao Akti and Shobrito Chan Tata Prima Patim Sukam Me Prayaja Namokshe Raho Me Namaste Swami to run Chet Anandurupam Satgunadam Gore Prachamandam Yasodabhi Yolokanad Tavamandam Pramishama Chandato Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Sahaparavacharya.
Asta Teta Siddhashi Shimad, His Divine Grace. Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai. ISKCON Founder Acharya. Srila Prabhupada Kijai Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindi Kijai Namacharya. Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Prem Sekh Oho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Srivasi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kijai. Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Srimati Lasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Padanta Swamini, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pachani, Nibhashesha Shunyabadi, Pashadeja Tari. We're going to read the translation again. To the Supreme Controller, who possesses an eternal form of blissful knowledge, whose glistening earrings swing to and fro, who manifested himself in Gokula, who stole the butter that the gopis kept hanging from the rafters of their storerooms, and who then quickly jumped up and ran in retreat in fear of Mother Yashoda, but was ultimately caught, to that Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, I offer my humble obeisances. Upon seeing his mother's whipping stick, he cried and rubbed his eyes again and again with his two lotus hands. His eyes were fearful and his breathing quick, and as Mother Yashoda bound his belly with ropes, he shivered in fright and his pearl necklace shook. To the Supreme Lord Sri Damodar, who was bound by his devotee's love, I offer my humble obeisances. Those super excellent pastimes of Lord Krishna's babyhood drown the inhabitants of Gokula in pools of ecstasy. To the devotees who are attracted only to his majestic aspect of Narayan and Vaikuntha, the Lord herein reveals, I am conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion. To the Supreme Lord Damodar, my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. O Lord, although you are able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for liberation or eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon. My only prayer is that your childhood pastimes may constantly appear in my mind. O Lord, I do not even want to know your feature of Paramatma. I simply wish that your childhood pastimes may ever be enacted in my heart. O Lord, the cheeks of your blackish lotus face, which is encircled by locks of curling hair, have become reddened like bimba fruit due to Mother Yashoda's kisses. What more can I describe than this? Millions of opulences are of no use to me, but may this vision constantly remain in my mind. O unlimited Vishnu, O Master, O Lord, be pleased upon me. I'm drowning in an ocean of sorrow, and I'm almost like a dead man. Please shower the rain of mercy upon me, uplift me, and protect me with your nectarian vision. O Lord Damodar, in your form as a baby, Mother Yashoda bound you to a grinding stone with a rope for tying cows. You then freed the sons of Kuvera, Manigriva, and Nalakuvera, who were cursed to stand as trees, and you gave them the chance to become your devotees. Please bless me in the same way. I have no desire for liberation into your effulgence. O Lord, the entire universe was created by Lord Brahma, who was born from your abdomen, which was bound with a rope by Mother Yashoda. To this rope I offer my humble obeisances. I offer my obeisances to your most beloved Srimati Radharani and to your unlimited pastimes, Lord Damodar Ki Jai. Okay, now we go to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Omagana Timuranda Shah Gananjana. Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, let us share the screen and continue with the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we haven't been able to read the last few days because we had yesterday an initiation and other things the day before. So, let us continue. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda,
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, we're on text 183 in the 17th chapter of the Majjhalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit to Vrindavan, an ecstatic chapter, as are all the chapters. So, Murka Loka Karibeka Tumara Nindana Sahite Na Parimu Sedushte Ravachana. Foolish people will blaspheme you, but I shall not tolerate the words of such mischievous people. So, of course, what happened was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating in the house of a Brahmin who was considered a lower caste Brahmin. Anyway, don't worry why. It's not really that important. But this Brahmin also was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And this Brahmin was a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. And this Brahmin was a pure devotee. It was a Sanodhya Brahmin. So Lord Chaitanya didn't consider the external formalities, which were actually not part of Krishna consciousness. They're part of the rigid caste system, which has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, which we reject. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that although the Brahmin did not belong to a superior community, he fearlessly chastised so-called caste Brahmins because he was situated on the platform of pure devotional service. There are people who are opposed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's accepting a Vaishnava belonging to a lower caste. Such people do not consider Mahaprasadam transcendental, and therefore they are described here as murka, foolish, and dushta, mischievous. A pure devotee has the power to challenge such high-class people, caste people in that class, and his brave statements are not considered proud or puffed up. On the contrary, he is to be considered straightforward. Such a person does not like to flatter high-class brahmanas who belong to the non-Vaishnava community. And of course, Prabhupada is referring to the criticism that he got by initiating devotees from the Western world and also people who are not from Brahmin families as Brahmins. And so Prabhupada was really heavy with these people. And because if one considers a Vaishnava to be of a certain caste, then that person is possessed of hellish intelligence. And also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to deal with this sort of criticism. Not only deal with the criticism, but he had attempts against his life. He had pilgrimages that were thrown, that people threw stones at. So much problems he had. The temples were closed sometimes to his disciples because of that. And even in Vrindavan today, some of the temples are closed, not to Western devotees, because they like Western devotees, because the Western devotees have, they're called blue bellies. I'll explain what that means in a second. But they're closed to even Brajabasis, who are considered to be of a lower caste. And it's interesting, they open the temples to Western devotees because they are considered blue bellies. What's a blue belly? I'll explain. A blue belly is someone who carries a money belt around his waist, and the money belts are generally blue. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. So Prabhupada really was upset with these ritualistic brahmanas who considered others not born in a Brahmin caste to be lesser, even though they were great Vaishnavas. So, Prabhu Kahi Shruti Smriti Yatarishi Gana Sabayeka Matahatnahe Bhina Bhina Dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, the Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement with one another. Consequently, there are different religious principles. As they say, different shlokas for different folks. So unless one comes to the absolute truth, there's no possibility of agreement. It is said, unless that a great learned scholar or sage cannot be exalted unless he disagrees with other scholars and sages. Of course, we know in the university you have to present in your thesis some new angle of vision. On the material platform, there are different kinds of religious systems. But the absolute truth is one, and when one is situated in the absolute truth, there's no disagreement. On that absolute platform, the Supreme Personality of God, it is worshipable, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 55, famous verse, Bhaktimam Abhijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha. On the absolute platform, the worshipful deity is one, and the process of worship is also one. Let me just change this one thing here. Okay. That process is bhakti. There are many different religions throughout the world because they are not all on the absolute platform of devotional service. That's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarvadharma Purichesha, Mame Kam Shandanam Prasha. The word Ekam means one, Krishna. On this platform, there are no different religious systems. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 112 Dharma Projita Kaitavotra, Bhagavatam kicks out cheating religions. On the material platform, religious systems are different. Srimad Bhagavatam describes them from the very beginning as Dharma Kavataha, cheating religions. None of these religions is actually genuine. The genuine religious system is that which enables one to become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 126, Savaipum Sampara Dharma, Yato Bhaktir Dhoksaje Hai Tukya Pratyata, Yatma Supersedite. That supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. On this platform, there's nothing but the service of the Lord. When a person has no ulterior motives, there is certainly oneness and agreement of principles. Since everyone has a different body and mind, different types of religions are needed. But when one is situated on the spiritual platform, there are no bodily and mental differences. Consequently, in absolute platform, there's oneness in religion. I think I have to unpack this. So, people are in different modes of nature. So to accommodate people in different modes of nature, you need different strictures. And Krishna in the Gita advises Arjuna to rise above the modes. And he says that most of the Vedas deal with people in the modes. Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nis Trigunya Bhavarjuna, Nir Dwandvo, Nir Dusatvasto, Nir Yogikshema Atmavan. Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas deal mainly with three modes of nature. You should rise above these things because you're transcendental. So you have different injunctions in different literatures, not only in the Vedas, but in some of the literatures in the Western world. And most of these injunctions are dealing with sub-religious principles. Sub-religious principles means religious principles or injunctions that are meant to bring you to the standpoint of being in goodness gradually. For example, in the Bible, we mentioned this last night during our initiation, there are the Ten Commandments, which are good, but they're sub-religious principles, like honor God, obviously, honor your father and mother, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't covet, you know, all these other injunctions. So it's very good. So you need those injunctions for people who are doing those things. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not say to Arjuna, don't steal, because Arjuna is not a thief. So you need, for lower class people, you need certain injunctions. Thou shalt not kill. Huh. Of course, even people who read the Bible don't understand that, and they still go and kill animals willy-nilly just to satisfy their uncontrolled tongues. So anyway, so you have these preliminary injunctions and also certain things that are just like culturally bound that are descriptive rather than prescriptive. and people take them out of context. And in this way, they justify sometimes chauvinism or racism or casteism by taking things out of context that are descriptive of a particular culture. But Vaishnavism is transcultural, transgender. Whoops. Has nothing to do with the gender. Has nothing to do with the species. It's trans species, transgender. That's why you have incarnations of God who preach using a horse head. You have incarnations. It's true. I agree, but you have incarnations of God that have are half man, half lion. Because it's trans species, transgender. Interesting question. Interesting statement, transgender. That means it's transcendental to gender discrimination. Where sometimes you have different cultures, and those cultures are described, description, in the Vedas, because the Vedas deal with descriptions. I mean, for example, in the Mahabharata, you have Draupadi marrying, anyway, the Pandavas. So that's descriptive. It's not prescriptive. We're not advising you to follow Draupadi's example. It's descriptive. There's a lot of things that describe. Parasaram cuts off, you know, all the heads of the Kshatriyas 21 times. You know, that's a description, not a prescription. So you'll find in certain descriptions there may be chauvinistic cultures or casteistic cultures, but that is not prescribed. You have to understand. You have to use your brain when understanding Shastra. Some people just don't have their brains. They think with their... I'm not even going to tell you what they think with. Anyway, it would be obscene if I was to tell you. So, with that in mind, Dharma stapanahi tu sadura vyavahara purigoshani ariye acharana yese dharma sara. A devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of such religious principles. Let's go back here. Dharma stapanahi tu. Establish, as is said about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, set dharma samstapako. Same thing. Actually, pretty much the same words. Sat dharma samstapako. The nana shastra vichara naikanipano. Sat dharma samstapako. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan perused all the revealed scriptures to establish sat dharma. Or sometimes it's called sanatan dharma. Of course, sometimes we use that term. But that term sometimes refers to an organization called the Sanatana Dharma Organization. But Sanatana Dharma means eternal principles that apply everywhere. In different cultures, you have to, just like you have Shastras that are for Malecha cultures. I'm not just going to describe what the names of those Shastras are. They're for lower caste cultures. It's necessary. They're necessary. They're good. They bring them up a little higher, the next life a little higher, the next life a little higher, and eventually, you know, hopefully they come to the right understanding. Bohunam janmanamante gyanabhamam prapajate tabmasatai vipas. No. Bohunam janmanamante vasudevam sarvamiti samahatma sudrilabha. So after many births, they understand that Vasudev Krishna is everything. So a devotee's behavior establishes the true purpose of religious principles. The behavior of Madhavendra Puri Goswami is the essence of all religious principles. That's also a statement from the Mahabharata. Tarko pratishta shuni na vibina. And ultimately, Mahajane yena gata sabanta. The devotees, or the Mahajanas, which Prabhupada is going to talk about here, behavior actually establishes the eternal religious principles. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives the following commentary in this passage. A sadhu or honest man is called a Mahajan or a Mahatma. Maha means great person or great soul. The Mahatma is thus described by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 9:13. Mahatmanastu, another famous verse, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivam prakriti rashrata. Vajantyananyo manaso gyatva bhutadam avyam. Of Sadhaprita, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. In the material world, the Mahatma is understood in different ways by different religionists. Mundaners also come up with their different angles of vision. For the conditioned soul busy in sense gratification, a Mahajana is recognized according to the proportion of sense gratification he offers. Don't we see that with politicians? For instance, a businessman may consider a certain banker to be a Mahajana because he gives him money, and karmis desiring material enjoyment may consider philosophers like Jaimini to be Mahajanas. There are many yogis who want to control the senses, and for them, Patanjali Rishi is a Mahajana. For the Jnanis, the atheist Kapila, Vishishta, Durvasa, Dattatreya, and other impersonalist philosophers are Mahajanas. For the demons, Haranyaksha, Haranyakashipu is Mahajana. Ravana, Ravana's son, Meghanada, which means like a cloud voice. Jada, Sanda, and others are accepted as Mahajanas. For materialist anthropologists speculating on the evolution of the body, a person like Darwin is a Mahajan. The scientists who are bewildered by Krishna's external energy have no relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they are accepted by some as Mahajans. Similarly, philosophers, historians, literary men, public speakers, and social and political leaders are sometimes accepted as Mahajanas. I'm not going to mention names of people because people get very upset when I mention political leaders. Such Mahajanas are respected by certain men who have been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sva vid viraho strakarai samstita purcha pashu nayat karna pato peto tatu nama gata grajaha. Men are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. Those on the material platform, animalistic leaders, thus on the material platform, animalistic leaders are worshipped by animals. Sometimes physicians, psychiatrists, and social workers try to mitigate bodily pain, distress, and fear, but they have no knowledge of spiritual identity and a bereft of relationship with God. Yet they are considered Mahajanas by the illusioned. Self-deceived persons sometimes accept leaders or spiritual masters from a priestly order that have been officially appointed by the codes of material life. In this way, they are deceived by official priests. Sometimes people accept as Mahajanas those who have been designated by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur as Dunga Viparas, imposter brahmanas. Such imposters imitate the characteristics of Srila Haridas Thakur and they envy Haridas Thakur, who is certainly a Mahajan. They make great artificial endeavors, advertising themselves as great devotees of the Lord or as mystic hypnotists, knowledgeable in witchcraft, hypnotism, and miracles. Sometimes people accept as Mahajanas demons like Putana. That would be pretty hard. Trinavarta, Boksha, Baka, Ugasura, Denuka, Kaliya, and Pralamba. Some people accept imitators and adversaries of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, such as Pondurka, Sri Gala, Vasudeva, the spiritual master of the demons, Shukracharya, or atheists like Charvaka. Charvaka said, eat, drink, and be merry. Basically, beg, borrow, steal, get yourself some ghee. He was an Epicurean. King Vena, Sugata, and Arhat. Wow, that's a slam at a particular religion we won't mention right now. People who accept such imitators as Mahajanas have no faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, they accept godless cheaters who present themselves as incarnations of God and cheat foolish people within this material world by word jugglery. Thus, many rascals are accepted as Mahajanas. It is those who are devoid of devotional service who mistakenly sometimes accept persons with mundane motives as Mahajanas. The only motive must be Krishna Bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. Sometimes fruitive workers, dry philosophers, non-devotees, mystic yogis, and persons attached to material opulence, women, and money are considered Mahajanas. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives the following statement about such unauthorized Mahajanas. Boy, Prabhupada's really letting everyone have it. Okay, 6:325. Prayena Veda Tad Didam Namahajano Yam Devya Vimohita Matir Vata Maya Yalam Trayam Jari Krita Matir Madhu Pushpit Pitayam Vai Tanike Mahati Karmani Yujamanaha. In this material world, karmis, fruit of actors, are accepted as mahajanas by foolish people who do not know the value of devotional service. The mundane intelligence and mental speculative methods of such foolish people are under the control of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, they cannot understand unalloyed devotional service. They are attracted by material activities and they become worshippers of material nature. Thus, they are known as fruit of actors. They even become entangled in material activities disguised as spiritual activities. In the Bhagavad Gita, such people are described as Veda Bhadarata, supposed followers of the Vedas. In other words, they use the Vedas for their own purpose. They do not understand the real purport of the Vedas, yet they think of themselves as Vedic authorities. People versed in Vedic knowledge must know that Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Bhagavad Gita says, 15:15, Veda Aish Charsabaya Amin Ham Eva Vedyaha. By all the Vedas I am to be known. In this material world, a person may be famous as a karmavira. That means a heroic person who makes a lot of money. A successful fruit of worker. Or he may be a successful performing religious duties. Or he may be known as a hero in mental speculation. Jnanavira means hero in the mind. Or he may be famous, a very famous renunciant, a sannyasi. In any case, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the following opinion in this matter, 3:23:56. Nehakyat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirtha parasivayai jivanapi mrito hi saha. Anyone whose work is not meant for elevating himself to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation does not lead him to devotional service of the Supreme Personality Godhead, must be considered dead, although he is breathing. Pretty heavy. The conclusion is that all pious activity, fruit of activity, religious principles of renunciation must ultimately lead to devotional service. There are different types of processes for rendering service. One may serve his country, people in society, the Varnashram Dharma system, the sick, the poor, the rich, the women, the demigods, and so on. All this service comes under the heading of sense gratification or enjoyment in the material world. Of course, as devotees, we serve everybody. But we serve everybody according to what they need. Nate vadhu swarta gatim hi Vishnu. That people don't know what is the ultimate benefit. So therefore, in giving temporary benefit, they're simply deviating people from the understanding of the ultimate benefit. You can still give people some temporary help, but it has to be connected with the permanent help. Much like in India, in Mumbai, we have this Bhaktivedanta Hospital. We give everybody medical care. Anybody who comes, any religion, doesn't matter. But they're also taking prasadam. They're also seeing Prabhupada. They're also hearing the holy name. So they're getting benefited in every way, materially and spiritually. It is most unfortunate that people are more or less attracted by such material activity and that the leaders of these activities are accepted as Mahajanas, great ideal leaders. Actually, they're only misleaders, but an ordinary man cannot understand how he is being misled. Yes, most people are pretty foolish. It's called Anda Yatanda Rupadimana Stepi Shatantramuradamni Bada. That the blind people are leading the other blind people. That's society. So therefore it says no one should become a mother or father or worshipful person or spiritual master unless they're capable of freeing someone from the cycle of birth and death. That's the quality. Narottama Das Thakur says, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakya Chitaiti Kariyakya. One should accept as one's guide the words of the sadhus, the shastra, and the guru. A sadhu is a great personality like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The shastras are the injunctions, revealed scriptures, and the guru or spiritual master is one who confirms these scriptural injunctions. Accepting the guidance of these three is the actual way of following the great personalities, Mahajanas, for real advancement in life. Mahajana Yena Gatasapanta. That's, of course, that's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but originally from the Mahabharata. A man covered by illusion cannot understand the proper way. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Dharma stapana hetu sadura yavahara. The behavior of a devotee is the criterion for all other behavior. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself followed the devotional principles and taught the others to follow them. Puri goshanira ye acharana se dharma sahara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally followed the behavior of Madhavendra Puri, his grandfather, spiritual master, and advised others to follow his principles. Unfortunately, people have been attracted to the material body since time immemorial. And here's a very heavy verse from the Bhagavatam. Yashatma buddhi kunape tri daduke swati kalatradi shubhomi jadi yatirta buddhi shale nakari chit janesha abhigyeshu sa eva go. A human being who identifies this body made of three elements with himself, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers his land of birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than to meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Oh my God. So if you consider where you were born, the house you grew up in, worshipable or attractive, and the byproducts of your body thing, you know, anyway, genetics there, your kinsmen, and you go to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than to talk to people, then it's like an ass or a cow. In other words, then another way to understand that is like you're like the ass that carries the cow's hay. That's another way to understand this particular verse. It's from the Bhagavatam 10:84-13. Those of you who've been in India have seen these asses, and I'm talking about an animal, not a human being, seen these asses who carry this heavy burden, and it's so tall, it practically hits the power lines above the hay or the straw or whatever the ass is carrying, and you can't see the ass. It's a little tiny ass. And this burden is like 5 or 10 times taller than him. And the burden keeps moving down the street. And you're wondering, it has legs on it? And so who would want such a situation like that? Those who accept the logic of Gadalika Prabhaha and follow in the footsteps of Sudha Mahajans are carried away by the waves of Maya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore warns. It's a beautiful poem. Miche maravase achabeshe kacha habu tu bubai Jeev Krishna das evishwas kalitar ardukonai. Don't be carried away by the waves of Maya. Just surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna and all miseries will end. That's the solution for all your miseries. The holy names. Those who follow social customs and behavior forget to follow the path chalked out by the Mahajanas. Thus, they are offenders at the feet of such the Mahajanas. Sometimes they consider such Mahajanas very conservative, or they create, conservative means, you know, they're just like fanatics, or they create their own Mahajanas. In this way, they ignore the principles of the Parampara system, that's the cyclic succession. This is a great misfortune for everyone. If one does not follow in the footsteps of the real Mahajanas, one's plans for happiness will be frustrated. That's why you're so frustrated. This is elaborately explained in the Majjalila, chapter 25, verses 55, 56, 58. It is stated, Parama karana isura keha nahimane swasva matastape paramatera kandane tati chaya darshana haite tatva nahi jani mahajana ye kahi se sacha mani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vani Amritera Dara Tinho, ye, ka, ye, vostu, se, tatvasara. People are so unfortunate they do not accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead, they want it to be supported They want to be supported by so-called Mahajanas or authorities. Tate chaya darshana haite tatwa nahijani. We cannot ascertain the real truth simply by following speculators. We have to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas and the disciplic succession. Then our attempt will be successful. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vani Amritera Dari. Whatever is spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incessant flow of nectar. Whoever accepts his words as reality can understand the essence of the absolute truth, and I can confirm that in my own life. No one can ascertain the absolute truth by following the philosophy of Sankhya. Sankhya means to count, analysis of the material elements, or the yoga system of Patanjali. Yam na yam yam asana pranayam pratyahara dharan dhyana samadhi. For neither the followers of Sankhya nor the yogis who follow Patanjali accept Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nate vidhu swartha gatimhi Vishnu. I quoted that verse before, 7531. The ambition of such people is never fulfilled, therefore they are attracted by the external energy. Although mental speculators may be renowned all over the world as great authorities, actually they are not. Such leaders are themselves conservative and not at all liberal. However, if we preach this philosophy, people will consider Vaishnava as very sectarian. Srila Madhavendra Puri was a real Mahajana, but misguided people cannot distinguish the real from the unreal. But a person who is awakened to Krishna consciousness can understand the real religious path chalked out by the Lord and his pure devotees. Srila Madhavendra Puri was a real Mahajana because he understood the absolute truth properly and throughout his life behaved like a pure devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved the method of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Therefore, although from the material viewpoint the Sanodiya Brahman was on a lower platform, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered him situated on the highest platform of spiritual realization. Hopefully we would finish this purport today. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20 states that there are 12 Mahajanas, Brahma, Narada, Shambhu, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Shukadeva, and Yamaraj. So, of course, there are more Mahajanas like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. To select our Mahajanas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we have to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. His next representative is Srila Sarup Goswami, Sarup Damodar Goswami, and the next representative is six Goswamis, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. A follower of Vishnu Swamis was Sridhar Swami, the most well-known commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was also a Mahajan. Similarly, Chandidas, Vidyapati, Jayadevaral Mahajanas, one who tries to imitate the Mahajanas just to become an imitative spiritual master is certainly far away from following in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. In other words, I'll tell you in a second. Sometimes people cannot actually understand how a Mahajana follows other Mahajanas. In this way, people commit offenses and fall down from devotional service. So it's that whole thing. Natevadu swartha gidhim hi vishnu dharasaya yebhati yarata manina andar yatanda rubi yamanas tepishatantra muradamni vada. If people don't know who is Mahajana, don't know what the ultimate goal is, then they are blind. And being blind, andar yatandar, they follow other blind people, and they both fall in the ditch. Just like if you are blind, you want to have at least a dog, a seeing-eye dog. Isn't it? You don't want to have another blind person leading you. You want to have someone or something with eyes. So eyes means someone who is, spiritually, someone who is realized, someone who knows the purport, someone who knows that conclusion of the Shastras. Not someone who's speculating, not someone who's materially engrossed, not someone who's simply patting you on the head and saying, ah, you're all right, I'm all right, not someone who is just simply giving you material sense gratification. But a real Mahajan is someone who tells you the truth, who rips the Band-Aid off. And sometimes you just got to take the Band-Aid off. Slowly, fast, whatever it is. Okay. That's a real Mahajana. So, let's see. We ended today on text 185. We'll go to 186 tomorrow. Okay, long purport. All right, so let us stop sharing and take some question. Just give me a second. Let me unmute everybody. Gotta move these things around so we can unmute. Allow participants to unmute themselves. Hold on a second. I gotta cut someone out. So when people have a habit of calling me in the middle. In the middle of class. Okay. Give me a second. I got it. Okay, so now you can unmute yourselves. You can raise your hand, ask a question directly by unmuting yourselves, or type in the text box a question. So now is your opportunity. Ask your questions. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Bol, good to see you. We've been missing you.
Dandava Pranam. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Very nice. Lovely to see you this morning as well. This morning here, sorry.
Morning. Top of the morning to you.
Thank you. Just a beautiful class, Guru Maharaj. Thank you for that. Just you know how you were saying that the Vedas is mainly interested in the modes of material nature, and that's how it explains it to get to that, you know, religious or Brahma Buddha stage.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what is the Vedas? Does it deal with any other subject matter? Like, does it actually go deeper into the philosophy as well? Yeah.
Oh yes, yes. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
The Vedas are broken down into basically three parts. One part is called Karmakanda. The other part is called Jnanakanda, and the other part is called Upasanakanda. Those are the three sections of the Vedas. The first part, Jnanakanda, is mainly dealing with people who want to uplift themselves externally, materially. So you have all these different pujas. Pujas and recommendations so you can go to the heavenly planets or enjoy this life or become rich or whatever like that. That's called the Karmakanda section. Then the Jnanakanda section is meant for those who want, let's say, knowledge, mental speculation, those who want to try to understand things, but it doesn't really point out the ultimate truth, but there's different knowledge about this world. I mean, even there's parts of the Vedas that deal with their Ayurvedic, you know, with doctor, you know, medical information. There's astrology. There's an astrological part of the Vedic literatures. And then finally you have the Upasana Kanda, which deals with transcendental things. And the Upasana part of the Veda, they're composed of two parts, deals with impersonal realization, and then finally personal realization, or the realization of Krishna. So yes, the Vedas do deal with it, but they're so, according to the Mahabharata, Vibhina is the word used in this famous verse, Tarko Pratishtha Shutina Vibhina, which means that one cannot understand the absolute truth by logic and reasoning, Tarko Pratishtha, that means establish, Shuti, or by studying the Vedas, because the Vedas are so multi-branched. In other words, there's something for everybody. It's like, I mean, it's something like a drugstore or pharmacy. Then you use so many different drugs, and really you have to be an expert pharmacist to understand which one to prescribe for a particular individual. So for particular individuals, you can't really teach them about the higher truths of Vedic knowledge because they're not ready for it. What happened here? So something happened to my... Anyway, I guess I'm still on. Just like in the Bible, there's this statement that Jesus Christ said, I have much to tell you, cannot bear to hear. So imagine, over 2,000 years ago, if Jesus Christ tried to teach people about Krishna, they probably would have crucified him a lot earlier. So, you know, it's just like, you know, what? What is this guy talking about? So basically, you know, when Krishna sends down different representatives, they teach according to Desha Kalapatra, time, place, and circumstance. And the Vedic literatures has different information like that according to different time, places, and circumstance. And one has to be expert enough to know the ultimate Shreya Shruti, the ultimate goal of the Vedic literatures, as Krishna says in Gita 15:15, otherwise one will become very confused. That's why it's necessary to Mahajanayana Gatasapanta to approach a great personality like His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to understand the purpose of the Vedas. I mean, just like you see in Hinduism, for example, that there are so many different groups that propound the Vedas. They talk about the Vedas and they quote different verses from the Vedas and they recite different mantras from the Vedas and they do different havans or sacrifices from the Vedas, but they don't actually know the purpose of the Vedas. They're just taking things. Or another example that Prabhupada used is that he used the example of the blind man and the elephant, which is a typical Vedic example, that you have different blind men touching an elephant at different parts. One is touching the trunk, and he's thinking, oh, this animal's like a snake. And another one is touching the legs. This particular entity is like a tree. Another one is touching the mouth. I don't know what he's thinking. No, elephants don't really bite people. It's the tusks that are dangerous on the animal, or the weight of the elephant. So basically, when you're blind and you're touching an elephant, you don't know what an elephant is. You just think it's a whole bunch of different things. But when you have eyes, or you know someone who has eyes, the person who has eyes can actually tell you what the nature of an elephant is. So it's the same thing with the Vedas. There's all these different parts for different people. And you know, how are you going to understand the whole purpose of the thing unless you actually have some guidance? Does that make sense?
It does, Maharaj. Thank you very much for explaining it so beautifully. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Hari.
Too bad Australia's not going to open up for a long time for fun.
I know, Maharaj. We are really craving to see you. I'm really hoping that we can see you in December or January, but let's see how we go.
It's not going to open up for foreigners, and maybe January you'll open up.
Perhaps, yeah.
Australia is going to open up for Australians to travel, but not for tourists. So, unfortunately, yeah. Fiji is much more advanced than Australia.
Yes, Fiji is way more advanced, yeah. Maybe we can come there and see you, Maharaj.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thank you.
I'll be in Fiji. I'm leaving here on the 5th, so I'll be in Fiji from the 7th to the 1st of January. 7th of December to the 1st of January.
Okay.
And, of course, the first 2 days or 3 days in Fiji, we have to be in isolation. That's the requirement, but that's life.
Yeah. And then what's the plan after that, Maharaj? Are you heading back to U.S. or...?
I'm heading back to the U.S., but, you know, I could come right back to Australia if Australia opens.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no problem. I just hop on the plane. It's just a short. You're just a short plane trip from here.
Yes.
I'm used to taking 18-hour trips, so it's just a question of getting in the plane, going to sleep, and waking up in Australia. But I will come as soon as Australia is open, and as soon as New Zealand is open, I can come there. So that right now, you're all suffering. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
So, any other questions? Who else wants to ask a question? No one else. Type, say, raise. Okay. I guess that's it. Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, we'll see everybody. tomorrow evening, same time, same station, for the Srimad Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Yes, the purport is actually very comprehensive. Thank you all for listening. See everybody tomorrow. Hari Bol.